So, anybody, what's your favorite presupposition? What was the presupposition that when you heard it on the tapes, you went like, wow, that's like mind-blowing? Anybody, what did you get? Number four, which is people are not their behaviors. Yeah? So what was it about number four that had you go like, that's brilliant?
I think I end up judging people by their behavior and being put off by it.
Right.
Just seeing the person behind it. So.
Okay. Brilliant. Good. Good. Excellent. Yes. Number 12, the mini communications response you get. Yeah, it's one of my favorites too. So what was it about that one that like makes it so great?
How many times I said, I didn't mean to get that reaction. That's not what I meant.
Right.
I knew what I meant, but I didn't put the message out.
Right. Good. So when you've got that, as far as like the meaning of communication is actually what they get, and you can see from your sensory acuity that they're not getting it, but then you've got, yeah, absolutely. But then you've got rapport and flexibility in your communication, so you can change the way you're communicating, then there would never be a situation where you wouldn't be able to get the meaning of your communication across so the other person got it. Yeah.
You take the way it's really represented. Did they actually mean that?
Right. Because again, because the perception is projection. You only have your perception of what they said. Yeah, there's no way really for you to know what they really said. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Other ones, yes?
Number one.
Respect for the other person's model of the world. And what was it about that one that had you?
Because I had a tendency to judge other people by standards, so it was actually
quite refreshing. Right. Good. Yeah. It just says respect. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
No.
It just means, like, it's their model of the world, and that's all it is. Yeah. Yes?
I like number one, too, and I think it opened up a totally new way I responded to people, because I always have I work from the premise that people saw things the way they saw the things that I saw in my mind, the same intensity as I saw it.
Right.
And they were just being really unreasonable when they were reacting in this way, which violated those things that I thought were important.
Right.
And so I sort of, and when I understood what that meant, respect for the other person's model of the world, that they see things and their standards and what is according to their morals and what's important to them, then straight away it lifted off a whole weight off my shoulders of thinking, why are people doing things my way? What's going on?
Yep, because they have a different model of the world from you. That's the one thing you can guarantee. They've got a different model of the world than you have. Excellent, good learning, yeah. Number nine. People have all the resources they need to succeed and to achieve the desired outcomes. There are no unresourceful people, only unresourceful states. Yeah, that's a good one. What was it about that one?
Just that so many people I know have actually made huge changes without actually having anything added to it, but just
right.
Facilitation of understanding
that they can do it. Yeah, yeah.
Possibility.
Yeah, so as soon as they get the belief that they can do it, they go into the state they can do it, and then they're off, they can do it. Without having to get any new skills or abilities or anything, because they've already got them all. Yeah. Yeah.
Number 11.
Okay. There is only feedback. No failure, only feedback. What was it about that one?
Sometimes I have a tendency to be a little bit self-critical.
Ah, okay.
And wanting to succeed at things, and there is no failure.
Okay.
So it's not that lets me off the hook a little bit, it just turns the negative thought into more of a positive frame of mind, perhaps.
Okay. So it becomes more of like, I haven't achieved it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, rather than, didn't work.
Yeah. Annoyed about it.
Yeah. Good. Brilliant. Other ones? Anybody else have a favorite one? Any that anybody's not sure about, as in either they don't understand them or, yeah, Sandra?
There's two. Behavior and change to be evaluated in terms of context and ecology.
Yes.
I struggle a bit with ecology.
Okay, let's talk about ecology. So I tend to think of ecology when I'm setting goals, working on change, or with a client, in three main kind of levels. And the first level is essentially me and all of my areas of life. So if I were to set a goal where I go, this is what I want to do, And then I look at the other areas of my life and check out what impact that achieving that goal would have on my other areas of life. Okay. Let's say I go like, yep, I can achieve that goal, but it's probably going to not be that good for my health. That would be an unecological goal. Yeah. Which could either be that the goal is like just not a good goal, or it could be that I have a limiting belief about the goal.
Right.
Or it might be like, if I were to achieve that goal, my relationship's going to suffer. Or if I was to achieve this goal in another area of my life, my career is going to suffer. Or my family relationship is going to suffer. So anywhere where doing something is going to have a negative impact on another area of your life, that would be an unecological change. Okay, that's the first level. Then the next level would be others involved. So as an example for that, if I was going to say, okay, we're going to do this with the performance partnership, I would then check it for me, as far as like, is that going to be okay with all areas of my life? Then I would go like others involved. So others involved would include all the people who work for me in the performance partnership and students. And so ecology would be that what I was planning on doing with the performance partnership would either have no impact on those people, or it would positively impact them. If it would negatively impact them, that would be unecological. Then another one that's actually worth doing is that's a bigger than that is kind of like the planet in general, as in, is it ecological for the planet in general? The interesting thing is when you make changes or set goals or achieve goals that are ecological, what happens is that all the people around you, the other areas of your life, and, you know, in a way, the planet in general, support you in making the change and achieving the goal. Whereas if you making a change would negatively impact another area of your life, you'll probably tend to sabotage it. Or these people will tend to attempt to have you not make the change or achieve the goal. Or the culture of the planet in general will stand in your way.
So just taking that slightly differently, you still may decide to do it, even though you may be aware that it might, because if you change, sometimes if you're not playing to the game that's been established.
Depends whose game.
Yeah, other people might find that, I mean, families play games, you know, you play games in relationships. If you no longer play that game, I mean, look, was it Todd who talked about his wife? And the tip. Did you listen to them? I think Tad
once or twice, I think.
Yeah, Tad was talking about his wife.
Right.
And he decided to play
100%.
Yeah, at 100%, which is in one way making it best for that game. And she decided to opt out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't what she wanted.
Because it wasn't what she wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. So you may.
But he didn't know that was going to happen.
No, he didn't.
So he decided to play 100%. But that's what actually was what happened in the. As a result, yeah. What we're talking here is like, you know, for setting goals, the goals that you're most easily going to achieve will be the goals that are the most ecological.
Right.
And if you're doing change work with someone or changes for yourself, the changes which are going to be longest lasting would be the ones that are most ecological. Because otherwise you're going to get resistance from other areas of your life or other people. And quite often what it doesn't mean necessarily not doing it. It means maybe changing it a little bit so that it does become ecological. Or it could be that you have a limiting belief about being able to achieve that in an ecological way. Which if you got rid of the belief, it would become ecological again. And then you had another one.
Yeah, the other one I haven't really understood what you mean by calibrate on behavior.
Okay. So calibrate on behavior, basically, the most important information about a person is the person's behavior, as in what they do, rather than what they say.
Yeah.
So what we want to calibrate on, and that's going to be one of our, actually, it will be the first exercise, is around increasing our sensory acuity to be able to calibrate on the person's physiology rather than what they say to be able to know really what's going on for them.
Okay, I suppose the bit is when you calibrate, because I mean, I know you've got your skin tone and your lip fullness and all those bits, What do you do with that information? What are you calibrating? What's that end information giving you?
Okay. If you can hold that thought until we've done the first exercise, I think the first exercise will answer the question for you. Yeah. Yeah, Bob. No. So what you've got is people are not their behavior. So people do things, yeah? And they do certain behaviors, but it's not who they are. So no matter what somebody does, they're way bigger than that, yeah? And also it means that they could change their behavior. And that basically anybody can change any behavior whatsoever and still remain who they are, because we're all, you know, way bigger than our behaviors. So a person is not their behavior. So we accept the person and then work around changing their behavior. The most useful information that we can get about a person to what's going on for them right at this very moment in time is from their behavior rather than what they say. So for instance, it is a...
So it's more that people are more than their behavior, rather than not their behavior.
Well, they're just not their behavior. Because you're not the sum total of what you've done in the past. No, you're way bigger than that. Okay, well, we can work on getting rid of that limiting decision for you. But here's an example of, like, behavior being more important than what a person says. So if you ask me a question as far as, like, you know, which was a closed question, which is either a yes or no answer, and I went like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Which would you take as being the most important? Me saying I'm fine with that, or me unconsciously shaking my head no? Right. So the behavior gives you the most important information rather than the words. Because the behavior tends to be run by the unconscious mind. Whereas consciously I might go, I better say yes to Bob because, you know, that's what I should say. But then my unconscious mind's going like, Bob, don't believe it. Yeah. Any other people? Yeah.
Just go back to the ecology thing. What happens if your client's view of ecology doesn't fit your view? You know, they set a goal which you think is going to damage other people, but he thinks, well, I don't care. I just want to go out and do that.
Okay. Good question. And I think that's kind of like it's an extreme example. I've only had that happen once for me with a breakthrough session. Because normally when we're working out like the ecology of a change and the ecology of goals, it's a systematic process with the client. You know, because in many cases I don't know whether it would be ecological for them. I have to check it with their own beliefs and their own life and all that kind of things. Where I had something which where I went like, I can't see how this is going to be ecological. It was with a particular client who came to see me who was having relationship problems, and it was purely a problem for that he was experiencing, and he was in a relationship and he wanted to stay in the relationship, but the problem that he was having was he was experiencing a great amount of guilt from screwing around, and what he wanted me to do was to work with him to teach him a technique for getting rid of the guilt. And I couldn't see how long term that would work personally, you know, which I said, you know, I don't think that's really gonna work, you know. I think your partner's gonna work this out sooner or later. No, I'm very, very careful. She'll never find out. I said, you know, my experience of women, she already knows, at least unconsciously at this point in time. And he said, like, no, well, you know, I'm not going to change that. I want to be in a relationship with this woman. I want to be in a relationship with this woman for the rest of my life, and I want to screw around on the side. And I want you to work with me to enable me to do that. I resigned him as a client. So, you know. And that's my own personal judgment. I mean, some people might go, like, you know, well, why? That's you judging, you know, what's right and wrong. Well, you know. Yeah, that's very true. But I didn't want to have a part to play in that kind of, like, scenario, so. I gave him his money back. told them, go and see somebody else. So you've always got that option. We'll talk about that later on, but I think you, everybody has the divine right to only work with the people they want to work with, and on working on the kind of things that they want to work on. And if somebody comes up with something that you go like, no, I don't want to work with that, then don't work with them. I quite often have people come up to me and say like, you know, can you use NLP to seduce people? Or like, can you give me some NLP techniques for like, you know, enabling me to pull women quicker and all this kind of stuff? And I go like, well, actually, one of the major breakthroughs for most men, I think, would actually building rapport before saying like, do you want it or what? Probably would dramatically increase their success. So just go out and build some rapport with some women, you know, you might be surprised at the results. But that's just one. That's another area. I know there are some people around NLP that teach that kind of thing. But that's kind of like I'm just not into that. So I don't teach it, and I don't, you know, I don't share that kind of information. If it's that important to you, you can work it out for yourself.